And so I'd like to start by praying for everybody that's been affected this morning. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord. You know the needs. You know the challenges that people are having. You know the hurts that people have faced and are still facing, Lord. And so we just want to lift those up to you this morning, Father. We want to lift those up to you and place those in your lap, Father, to you, for you to guide and direct, Lord, for you to bring healing, for you to bring wholeness, Lord, for you to bring restoration. Lord, we just ask you right now to touch those people that are hurting. Guide us, use us, Father, to minister to your people here on this earth, Father. And we just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, so because I've just admitted to loving snow, some of you may not like me right now. And I do want to remind you of Pastor's message a few weeks ago on extraordinary love for people. So if you weren't here for that one, you can go back and watch it on February 7th. So you do have to love me even if you don't like me. Well, we are going to continue our series 10 today. And this is week number 4. During the series, we're talking about the 10 qualities necessary to move from a believer to a disciple. Pastor kicked us off with the first week talking about being passionately committed to Jesus. And then the next week, he talked about the extraordinary love for people that I just mentioned. And then last week, he spoke to us about having the heart of a servant. And so today, I'm going to be talking to you about being sensitive and submitted to the Holy Spirit. Of all the qualities we're going to be talking about throughout this series, over the next 10 weeks total, understanding the role of the Holy Spirit plays in our lives could be the most important in the sense of how we relate to God. In fact, let's start off with a quote directly from Jesus. Jesus makes a very important statement about the Holy Spirit. This is in John 14, 15 through 17. Clarify, John 14, chapter, verses 15 through 17. He says, "If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." This is a very radical statement that Jesus just made at that time. Jesus was introducing his disciples to the third member of the Godhead, right? To the final member of the Trinity. Up until that time, everything the disciples knew about God was through the religious priests. The religious priests really were their only connection to God at that time. But they were not advocates. Verse 16 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, another advocate who will never leave you." You see, an advocate is a person who works on your behalf, argues in support of another person's cause. And so all of the religious Jews of that day had been conditioned to think that only the priests could have a relationship with God, and they were the only ones that could talk with God. Jesus was introducing a whole new concept, a radical concept at that time, about God, where man could get up close and personal, could actually have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and with God, and actually hear him talk with us without having an intermediary, somebody between us and God. So I'm talking about a relationship where God can direct our life without a priest in between. A relationship where God can begin to live within us and operate his plan through us while empowering us for his service through the Holy Spirit. You know, the most important message we share to those who don't have Christ, to the unsaved world, if you will, is Jesus. That's the most important message we can share with them. He is the way to salvation. But the most important message we can share with the saved world, I feel, the people who do know Christ and have committed their life to Christ, is really the Holy Spirit. And so how we know the Holy Spirit and how we cooperate with the Holy Spirit on this earth will determine where our life with God takes us, where our relationship with God takes us. So before I dive into how we are to be sensitive and submitted to the Holy Spirit, and also really in cooperation with the Holy Spirit as we walk through life, I believe there are some important things we need to know about the Holy Spirit. So we're going to cover a few of those right now. In fact, did you know that the Holy Spirit really has a job description? I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Most of us, if we've had any job, we've had a job description, things we are responsible for doing. So in reading Scripture, you can count on finding clear descriptions of the Spirit's various roles. The Spirit of God has specific work to be done, and the Scripture clearly teaches us what those things are. And so the things I'm going to be talking about are far from an exhaustive list. In fact, teaching about the Holy Spirit could take up more than a 10-week series. I guarantee you that. But we must understand just a few things as we talk about being sensitive and submitted to the Holy Spirit. The first thing is that the Holy Spirit exalts Jesus. It is always the Spirit's mission to glorify Christ. I believe this is the first and primary goal of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself said in John 15:26, "But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me." Jesus goes on later to say in John still that he, talking about the Holy Spirit, will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will bring glory to me by telling whatever he receives from me. So the Holy Spirit will always point to Jesus. Secondly, the Holy Spirit convicts us, right? This is where I want to spend just a few minutes because I believe this is often overlooked and undervalued. To be honest, it might be the part we dislike the most, and I'm sure it is. But when we're sensitive and submitted, it's also the part that will help us develop the most into Christlikeness. It is the Spirit's mission to bring conviction in several ways. John 16:8-11 says, "And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." So first off, he convicts us of our unbelief. We all have levels of unbelief and doubt at times. But as doubt is left unchecked and unsatisfied, really, it starts turning into unbelief. So the Spirit wants to reverse that unbelief in us so that we will trust and believe in Christ. And he does that many ways, right? With bringing other people into our lives and speaking into our lives. But he does that within us also if we're sensitive and submitted, or as we're sensitive and submitted. And secondly, the Spirit wants to confirm to us the holiness and righteousness of Jesus. The world has judged Jesus as an imposter. And honestly, just simply one among many prophets, many people think. But the Holy Spirit seeks to reverse that verdict that was delivered to Jesus so long ago when he was crucified and calls on us to look to him alone for salvation. And lastly, the Spirit wants to usher us into an awakened sense of sin. He wants us to recognize sin as it's presented to us at the time it's presented to us so that we can deal with it right then. Sometimes it's not even as the sin is presented to us, but it's really even a doorway to sin. The Holy Spirit starts nudging us and starts giving us little hints that we may be going down the wrong path, that we may be focusing on the wrong things. So when we're tuned in and sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he will show us a path that we're entering and how we can turn around and escape that path and stop where we're headed. The next thing we need to understand is that the Holy Spirit lives in us. 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God?" Now, Paul was talking to a church that had become insensitive to God's presence through the Spirit within them. We are instructed to be filled with the Spirit. And so the alternative of that to being filled is that we will allow only the Spirit to only partially fill us. So we need to be allowing him free access to all of us in order to be filled. The Holy Spirit's presence within us helps us resist the power of sin and the temptations we will face as we walk through our life. And because the Holy Spirit lives within us, he also guides us and directs us. We're really helpless in getting accurate guidance and direction sometimes unless the Spirit is working within us. He can only guide us and direct us, though, based upon the level that we allow him to fill us. And even really more than that, the level for which we seek to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And then one other very important role of the Holy Spirit is that he enables us to understand and apply what is taught in the Word of God. To understand and apply what is taught in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right." Everything the Spirit does, everything the Spirit speaks to us and guides us to, will line up with Scripture because Scripture, the Spirit inspired Scripture. The two will always agree. So when we're feeling something, when we're feeling guidance, when we're feeling direction, if it does not line up with the Word of God, the Bible, it is not the Holy Spirit. if it goes against Scripture. Now, before I move forward with being sensitive and submitted to the Holy Spirit, which is what we're talking about today, I want to be sure you understand that knowing the Holy Spirit is part of knowing God, knowing Jesus. It takes a continual walk, right? That continual refilling of the love and the knowledge of God, and one that will never really be satisfied during this life, I'm afraid. And so as we've been talking about every week, there are things that a disciple will do that a believer won't, or maybe hasn't yet. So the last thing I want is for you to think that we're saying being a believer is bad. We all start at that point. We all start at that simple point of saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. The goal is that we don't stay right there, though, but that we continue to grow and move towards Christ throughout our lives. And we'll never get to the point that we'll have made it to full maturity, at least not here in this life on the earth. But as we continue moving from a believer to a disciple, we must be sensitive and submitted to the Holy Spirit. This is one of the most important steps in moving to be a disciple. So let me give you a few thoughts about the Holy Spirit to wrap this up. There are three things you need to understand about how the Holy Spirit works in the life of a believer to turn them into a disciple. And this is a continual path. This is not one thing and you're done, and the next thing and you're done. The first thing is that the Holy Spirit reveals God's will in our lives. You know, one of the biggest questions that people ask when they come to Christ is, what is God's will for my life, right? What is God's will for me to do right now? Believers ask this as they are transitioning, as they want to go deeper into discipleship. Sometimes we're not interested in the answer, though, right? We want to ask God. We want God to reveal that. But sometimes we do not want to know the answer. We don't agree with the answer. We're scared, or we're just simply turning a blind eye because that is not anything we ever thought we would be doing. And so, you know, that could apply to our relationships. Well, it's leading us away from relationships that we thought we were headed towards, or maybe career path, or maybe the purpose of your life. Lots of other things. So believers don't ask these questions because they have been conditioned, all of us really have been conditioned, to operate in our own will without asking God for direction, without seeking God's guidance. And so believers ask God to bless what they have decided to do. Disciples ask this question and then listen for clues, listen for guidance, if you will. But they've decided to follow him no matter the answer. They're not waiting for the answer to decide what to do. They're decided, I'm following you, just tell me what to do, Lord. Everything that causes our life to fulfill God's purpose is found in knowing God's will, which is found by knowing God's Spirit also. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 11 says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So I should tell you right now that asking that question, what is your will for my life, is probably not going to end with you getting an answer that says, do this, or do A, B, and C. More than likely, you're going to get a series of steps or inclinations, if you will. You're going to be inclined and feel some nudges, if you will. In fact, author Margaret Feinberg says she believes that knowing the will of God is kind of like hearing echoes. She says, and I quote, I call them sacred echoes because I noticed that throughout my relationships, my daily life, and my study, the same scripturally sound idea or phrase or word will keep reappearing until I can no longer avoid its presence. Those echoes keep happening, those same things keep being repeated, maybe in a little different way, until we start to recognize that they are from God. You know, God is constantly on the move, and following God's lead in our lives requires following his lead in the steps that he gives us, incrementally, right? And so that's one of the reasons we say that our goal here at Grace Point Church is to help you take your next step in Christ. We're looking for our next step. Sometimes we'll get two or three steps at a time. Sometimes we may only get the one next step, though. So I cannot stay where I am and follow God at the same time because responding requires movement. Now, I don't want to discourage you because there are times when God speaks and makes things unmistakably clear for our next right step. But oftentimes it will be those nudges from multiple places or people, those nudges, if you will, that will be the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And we must learn to tune in and be sensitive and then submitted to the Holy Spirit. Another thing we must understand is that the Holy Spirit is the voice of God. Jesus would say, "My sheep hear my voice and they will not listen to the voice of a stranger." You know, we have so many voices speaking to us today as we live our lives and make decisions and go throughout our lives. Trying to follow God and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit requires discernment, requires us to separate and recognize the Spirit's voice above and apart from the other voices in our lives. This is what I mean. When we are making decisions and living our life as we go throughout our life, we do so mostly unconsciously a lot of the times. So our decisions and our path forward is often affected by many different voices that have helped form who we are in that moment. For example, as we're younger, we have the voices of our parents, right? The voices of our family, those that have raised us. At the time, parents and those that raise us feel like God, right? They're guiding us, they're directing us, they're telling us what to do, when to eat, what to eat, all of that. They can feel like God, but they are not God. But then as we continue to grow, we start listening to the voice of our friends, right? You've heard it said that you can show me your friends and I'll show you who you'll be in 10 years. These friends become a bigger and louder voice than our parents much of the time, especially as we continue to mature and continue to age. And then we have the voice of our education. Those that taught us or that do teach us from preschool through college and even beyond, those in leadership over us, maybe in jobs or in other ways. Much of our education is to define our world logically, is to understand it logically. When you think about the things of God, the supernatural events of God, the miracle-working power of God, there's no logic in that. We can't fully understand that with our mind. Much of our education is built on and really to reason us out of a relationship with God. I'm not saying it's intentional. I'm not saying they speak out against God publicly and verbally. But it begins, our education lots of times begins to reason away the supernatural power of God. We redefine the word of God as we get educated lots of times, which leads to us questioning whether God actually said what the word says he said. Believers believe it's okay to do a lot of things that God says not to. It's okay to have sex outside of marriage, to watch whatever we want to watch, do whatever we want to do, and say whatever we want to say. But a disciple understands that when the Holy Spirit gets in your life, he starts to correct those things. He starts to speak to those things. But if we're not careful, we can quench the Holy Spirit. Just like when you take a drink of cold water on a hot summer day, that quenches your thirst, we can quench the Holy Spirit, but not in the same satisfying way. Quenching the Holy Spirit is when he's speaking and we choose not to follow his guidance. We know what he's saying and we hear him, but we're not tuning in and we're choosing to ignore it. When we do that, it becomes harder to hear his voice the next time. It becomes harder to hear the nudge, to feel the nudge, to feel the little tap on the shoulder, right? The more we do that, the less sensitive we are, and the easier it is for us to slip further down. And then we have the voice of our circumstance, or the voice of our experiences, where our experiences have led us up to that point. This is where the voice of the enemy can take over, can start to build doubt, can start to build unbelief, right? Start saying, if God really loved you, would he let you be in this situation? If God really loved you, would he let you stay right here? Would he not be doing something to get you out of this situation? You must not be a child of God if he's letting you experience this. How we view what we've done and what we've been through, this is one area it's important that we have God helping us interpret these experiences and submit them to him. You know, especially if we've been through hard things in our life, abuse and neglect, even addictions. You know, that's where counseling can help. It's where places like Celebrate Recovery can help. It can help us look at our hurts, our habits, our hang-ups. It really helps us recognize those things through God's eyes and look at those through God's eyes, submitting them to him so that he can help us get through them and also change our outlook about them. Not necessarily forgetting them, but using those things and turning them for his glory. And as I mentioned a moment ago, the voice of the enemy. The enemy will speak to us in many ways, and sometimes through the things we've already talked about. Sometimes through temptations, sometimes through thoughts, sometimes through other people. We must be on the lookout because the enemy is all about stealing, killing, killing, and destroying. That's all he wants to do. And so the voice of the enemy likes to distract us from what we're supposed to be doing. And he tries to give us permission to do some of the things that we desire that are outside of the will of God. He can do this by convincing us that God wants us to be happy, right? Surely he wouldn't want me to be unhappy. And since this or that would make me happy, then God wouldn't mind it. God doesn't want us to be miserable in a marriage or in our lives, so surely it's okay if we got divorced. Or surely it's okay if we did this or did that. But God ultimately wants our marriages submitted to him and restored. He wants lives restored. He wants people holy more than happy. Does that mean you spend the rest of your life unhappy in a marriage or unhappy in some other way because of some path you're on? No, I don't believe that. I believe we have control over our steps back to God and that he will walk us through those things and bless us as we submit to him and as we're sensitive to him and his guidance. You know, I ran across a saying the other day that simply says, the grass is greener where you water it. If you haven't been watering your grass or feeding it or nourishing it and caring for it, other people's grass is going to start to be greener at some point. I've said it many times that I believe the loudest voice of the enemy today is that of distraction. We get focused on things other than what we should be focused on, and we stop watering our own front yard. We stop working on our own responsibilities. We stop working on the things that God is giving us to do, and start focusing on the things that other people are doing. And that's not what God gave us to do. God gave us our things to do, but we are so focused on what other people are doing because we're not watering and caring for and nurturing our own responsibilities. You know, it's not long before we start noticing our neighbors. So our focus shifts from our stuff and our responsibilities to building and caring for the things that others have responsibility for, we start getting distracted from what God has given us. So when God speaks to us, he does so through the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we have to tune in. Romans 8:14 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." One of the best transitions a person can make as we move from a believer to a disciple is to learn how to hear the voice of God over all the other voices speaking to us. We're going to continue to have those voices speaking to us. The voices of our upbringing, the voices of our parents, the voices of those friends, the voices of our coworkers and the world and the news and the social media and all the internet sites out there. You name it, those voices want a piece of property in your mind and in your heart. As we move from a believer to a disciple and start learning how to hear the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, we've already talked about, reveals God's will in our lives. The Holy Spirit is the voice of God. And lastly, I want to talk about this. Holy Spirit is the power of God. One of the distinguishing features that separated believers from disciples in the early days is how they learned to cooperate with the power of God in their lives through the Holy Spirit. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." This is how the disciples were so powerful, by depending on God's power through the Spirit. They stopped listening to the religious leaders of the day, right? The religious leaders of the day had human wisdom and persuasive words. They started listening to the voice of God instead, through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit reminded them of Jesus' words that said, the same works that he did, they would also do. You and I can function in the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. The Bible says of Peter and other disciples that they were ignorant and unlearned, but the Holy Spirit empowered them with supernatural power of God. So much, in fact, that people would bring their sick, set them on the side of their road, lay them out on streets in beds, on couches, wherever they could find a place, just so that the shadow of the disciples would pass over them and the people would be healed. The power of God lives in you and I in the form of the Holy Spirit. The same power in Jesus and the disciples live inside all of us if we're believers. But for us to move from a believer to a disciple, we must be sensitive and submitted to the Holy Spirit. This is one of the most important steps we must take in moving to be a disciple. So we have the Holy Spirit reveals God's will in our lives. The Holy Spirit is the voice of God. We must learn to listen to that voice and tune into that voice above all the other voices in our lives, right? And the Holy Spirit is the power of God. We have the power to impact the kingdom of Christ. He's bestowed that power. When we cooperate with him, he's bestowed that power upon us to affect people's lives and affect the kingdom like never before. And so I realize that there may be people here today or there may be people joining us online, worshiping with us online, and all this may be a little foreign to you, honestly. You may not know God. You may not know Jesus. But you're saying right now that you want to. You're not sure what it entails, and you're not exactly what the path looks like, but you're ready to do it. You're ready to commit your life to Christ, to let him give you new life through the Holy Spirit. So if that's you and you're ready, I want you to pray this prayer with me in just a moment. And so we're going to bow our heads, and everybody in the place is going to pray this together. But if this is you, if you're worshiping with us online, you can do this as well. So just follow us in prayer. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes, and let's all pray together. Jesus, I place my trust in you. I ask you to come into my life, Lord, and cleanse me. I believe you died and rose again to give me a new life, an everlasting life. I commit my life to you today. Jesus, send me the Holy Spirit. Fill me and empower me to know you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you just committed your life to Christ for the first time, I just want to say congratulations. That is one of the best decisions you will ever make, the best decision you will ever make. And I want to ask you to do me a favor. If you're here in person, I want to ask you to fill out a card for me. There's boxes on either side of the media booth that have cards in it. You can take that card out, fill it, just drop it right back in that box. We won't call you or come visit you. We just want to send you something in the mail or via email that helps you take your next step with Christ. And if you're worshiping with us online and you've made that decision for the first time, just click the button that says raise your hand. You'll have the opportunity to fill out a form. Give us that same information. Again, we just want to help get you some information into your hands that will help you take your next step with Christ. Now, for those of us who are saying, I want to be more sensitive and submitted to the Holy Spirit, I want to walk more as a disciple, I want to start moving more into a disciple, not just a believer, then I want to pray for you as well. So let's pray right now. Father, I pray right now that you will give us courage to follow you. You will give us your vision. You will give us intention for our lives, Lord, not to seek our own way, but to seek your way, Father. I ask you for wisdom, Lord, to give us direction through your Holy Spirit, God. Help us to be sensitive to your nudge, God. Help us to hear you quickly, respond with committed hearts and quick action, Lord. We want to impact your kingdom like never before, Lord. Help us to be all you are calling us to be, all you want us to be, Lord. Lord, as we continue to submit ourselves to you, help us to be sensitive to you, Father. And if we've quenched your spirit, if we've denied following you when we've known what to do, Father, break the scales away from our hearts. Break the scales away from our eyes and our ears, Lord, that we may hear you, that we may see you at work, Lord, and join you in that work as you lead and guide through your Holy Spirit, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.